Hello, everybody. This is week number 10 of the Light Side of Balance of Power. So I guess week five for y'all, episode five. I am joined, as always, by the good guys who I am happy to report all appear to be alive and well
Intact, no
today,
bites.
all in one piece. So good
None of us
start,
are sick.
Barely stressed.
Yeah, everybody's looking great. It's
None of us
gonna
have
be
shot each
fantastic.
other.
So let's take a minute because I want to get caught up. Let's start with Anne, because I think, Anne, it's been the longest since you were on the stream. Caitlin, we played with yesterday, and then these two nerds were here. So what have you been up to, Anne?
Pretty much just playing Overwatch. Ranked came out recently, so I've redevoted my life to just being average at the game.
So how does ranked even work? Because I've been away from Overwatch for a little while. You got to play qualifying games, right?
You play 10 placement matches, and then based off of like a combination of your performance and then like your team and stuff, you get set on a scale of like 1 to 100. I think the max you can get in the placement is like 70, and then like all the like pros right now are like 70, 72 area. And then as you play, you either rank up or rank down. Like if you win games, you rank up a
And
little.
it's related to like not just you but your team overall, or how does that affect? Because what if you get like if you get stuck in your rank games with a bunch of people that are terrible, like can you group up for rank or
Absolutely. It's kind of harder though. I feel like playing six mans is a lot more difficult because then you end up against other six man teams, and it's like all these guys who are all really good and they all play together and are like really try hard. So
So you feel like it's do you feel your ranking was fair after your games, or were you like feeling?
There's like a known bug where the King of the Hill ones don't give you as much XP as they're supposed to, or I don't know if it's like a bug, but everyone is saying how it's not supposed to be that way because you spend like 30 minutes playing these King of the Hill games and then you get like a tiny, tiny bit of XP, even if you get like a bunch of gold medals and stuff. So
Best ones to lose on, though.
yeah, when you lose, then you like go, it's like a whole half a rank you lose. And then when you win, it's like this tiny little green bar. It's the worst feeling.
Yeah, I'm sure by the time
Can you
Sorry?
just like jump out?
If you leave, you get like leaver penalties, and you could potentially get banned for like an entire season if you leave too much. So
Someone
you'd
left.
be able to play ranked for a couple months.
Someone left one of my games, and this thing popped up saying you can leave now without penalty, but it went away really fast. Do you know how long that is?
Ooh, I don't know. I think it gives you like a minute or something because like, if you have someone leave on your team, then you're already at a disadvantage, and then they give you the opportunity to bow out. You know, if you're just like, well, that person left and now I'm screwed, and then they won't penalize you because like who wants to play 5v6 in a ranked game, you know? Although I played a game versus like three guys who just stayed, even though it was 3v6, and I was like, why did you stay when you had the chance to leave?
I guess we've all done that in CSGO though, right? Like played the bot and sometimes won with the
Yeah, it's cool they give you that rip cord. Well, that's cool. Yeah, I know a lot of people were waiting for rank to come out, and then they could be recognized for their.
Super
So
excited
are you
about
gonna
it.
like shoot for whatever the Overwatch equivalent of like master is? I don't know how like ranked play works for that. I'm only familiar with Hearthstone.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not like super concerned with my rank. It's more that I just find it enjoyable to play. And if I, you know, do well, then I do well, and that's cool. You can get like, they have golden weapons now, like
I
gold
saw
gun
that.
skins. Oh, they look so good. So I like really want them, but you have to win like 300 games in order to get just for one hero. So I'm just gonna be playing a lot of Overwatch for the next few months.
Totally different from the last few. Complete change for you. Playing lots of Overwatch. Well, that's cool. Good luck in your climb to golden weapon glory. Caitlin, we hung out last night. So have you done anything exciting in the past like 18 hours or so?
I messaged you,
That,
and then I
if
got
that's the most
caught
exciting thing that happened to you between
up.
then and now, I'm really sorry.
You were like the only person awake, but then I think you went to sleep, and then I was the only person awake. So,
So the answer then would be no. Nothing exciting.
no, nothing.
Not playing. Haven't played any Metal Gear. I saw you got your emote back.
Yeah, I
I
did. I
got
got my
some.
snake booty emote. Yeah,
That's good.
I love
That's
it.
good.
It's, you know, I'm happy that was unnerfed on Switch, but I still don't know why it was nerfed in Metal Gear Solid 3. Metal Gear Solid 4, Snake, Big Boss, like everyone in those two games, Raiden even, like, I don't know why their butts got nerfed, because in Metal Gear Solid 1 and 2, they're so big. They're so big. Peace Walker is still nerfed, so
I feel like this sounds like a YouTube video in the making. I think you need to go and do like a game by game butt analysis for your channel. I'd watch that.
So big. and then it's just gone. I was surprised, but yeah. That's why I have the Metal Gear Solid 2, Metal Gear Solid 1 fitting on my emote.
Well, welcome back, Kate Booty. good to see it in the chat. Cool. How far are you in the Metal Gear games? What are you playing right now?
Did
you
finish? I'm on Peace Walker right now.
Are you enjoying it? Because I played a little bit of that one.
I am enjoying it, but definitely like, I mean, you can't set the difficulty. So it's really ridiculous, like the things you can do in the game when you're not playing Big Boss hard. And then you can't slit people's throats, which I found really annoying because that's my favorite way of killing people. Like when you're in that scene with the sorrow and like all the people you died show up, it was a lot of fish that I killed with bombs. When I missed like killing a bad guy, the bomb would kill the fish. And then everyone else, like their heads were like all the way back, you know, and their necks were slit. That's later, my favorite way of killing.
Later when people ask me, hey, so Adam, how did you know Caitlin before she was arrested? I'll tell them, oh, I remember one time she told me about how cutting people's throats was her favorite way to kill them.
It's so stealthy. It's so stealthy. It's so good. Way better than choking them out. You know, they're done for good. Okay. But yeah, it was made for kids. Like Kojima said that he made that game because his kid like Monster Hunter so much. I don't know if I'm saying it right. So that's why, like, there's all these themes about if you're a kid, don't smoke, you know, but right. Like child soldiers are still okay, I guess. You know, like excessive gore, the guns are okay.
Yeah. See, we were talking about that all day yesterday. Like, where's the line?
Yeah. Don't smoke.
It's in and out. It's like a weave.
But if you want to join a mercenary company at age 8 and get yourself an AK, hit it. Cool, cool. Well, carry on with your stealthy throat slitting. Just maybe keep it away
from me. Soon. Yeah. Soon I'll be back to it.
Yeah. Maybe I'll give you a stormtrooper to stab today.
Yes.
Zeke, how about you? How are you doing? I just want to point out, yesterday I dropped in to drop frames for exactly like 15 seconds. And okay. I caught only one like out of context statement from you. I think it was about VR porn. But I definitely all I heard was you saying about something about how it would be interesting and then something about being pounded by somebody, I think. I was like, Zeke, what are you even talking about, buddy? And then I left to do less traumatizing things, but
just long story short, when you do VR stuff, like especially if it's pornography, like you are in like as close you can be to being in the skin of somebody else. And I was wondering like, what if a woman put on this thing and would like look down and she had a schlong, you know? And I was like, what if I put it on and I looked down and I was a woman, I was just getting like railed by some dude. I was like, you know, I wouldn't mind.
Yeah. I mean, it's important for VR to have the lightsaber color match your own.
Exactly. That too. Yeah. And it'd be like an experience. I'm sure it'd be really funky, and I'm not afraid of like trying new things.
Well, that's
also
good. That's
where do you plug in the size setting? I mean, we want immersion here, and how small can it go for us? That you know, like,
is there a mini limit?
put in like a standard resolution, just heighten weight.
Can it go smaller? Can it go? Like, is there a dial on the top? Like smaller.
We are living in a majestic age. It is the future. It's somebody's future. I don't know if it was mine, but we're in someone's future right now.
Hey, I ain't scared of nothing. But other than that, life's been good.
That's good. You're playing Vampire right now, right? Or did you finish it?
Yeah, no, I haven't finished it yet. Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines is what I'm kind of playing right now, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, surprisingly good. I enjoyed it. I didn't finish it, but when I played it when it came out, I was like, this is pretty damn good.
It's great.
Cool. Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it, man. Yep. Cool. How about you? What have you been up to since, I guess, yesterday?
Yeah, been good, man. More Star Ocean. I had to rage quit that today. And then more Subnautica. Been having a great time with both.
I keep seeing you tweet about that. What's Subnautica's deal? There's no submarines, right?
Yes, Subnautica, you crash land on this aquatic planet. And it's kind of interesting because at the very beginning, you can faintly see like a projectile coming from the surface and hitting the ship that you're on, and then it crashes. And the rest of it is, it's just a combination of survival, base building, moving through some tech trees, deciding like how you're going to conquer it. Just today, I got this giant sub called a Cyclops, which you can actually dock the other sub into and then drive around. Like, it's a really cool kind of survival exploration game. And if that is even like 10% interesting, I highly recommend people pick it up. On top of that, it is probably one of the best examples of an early access product actually living up to
that's really nice.
All the time over a year plus period that's out there. So yeah, it's a great game. I keep finding new stuff I enjoy. I've got a giant underwater base now, multiple subs of different loadouts and types, and it's cool. Still early access because there's not like a backbone yet. There's no end game that I know of. And they're still very much developing it, but yeah.
You don't have a fear of water in video games, right? I'm actually getting anxiety. Like when you said underwater base, like I actually like felt that pressure inside of me.
Ready for this? Your base can flood. You can drown.
Are there sharks?
Just by the pressure. Oh, there's not only sharks. There's things called reapers that have these giant, like meter long, multiple.
So I love that. I love that your response to Caitlin being like, "Hey, I'm feeling kind of anxious about this thing you're talking about," was to talk about it more. That was good.
People keep telling me to play that game, and like this just sold it for me to never play it ever. Thank you. I'm not even gonna try.
That being said, though, it's a huge amount of fun, and yeah, it's definitely worth it. There's lots of light everywhere, so it never really feels scary, you know, which is kind of nice. But yeah, it's fun.
You ever watch that '90s TV show Sequest DSV? Remember that?
Oh, hell yeah, yeah, I love that show.
How much like that show is this game?
Partially, it's much lighter, but it's kind of it's very much like you could just stay under the water and never surface. Like you get to a point when you can just like. Your entire life takes place under the sea. And it's really
cool. All I've ever wanted out of life is to emerge into the ocean and never return.
I wanted it to be more like C-Lab 2021.
Nice. Yes.
That's what I want.
Can be Marduk, Slayer of Tiamat.
Those pot six. I hate pot six.
Bizarro.
It's an underrated TV show. Yeah, C-Lab was pretty, it was pretty magical. I think a lot of people who like Archer don't realize that C-Lab is the beginning of the timeline that led us to Archer.
Yep.
So, yeah, if you like Archer, you can watch C-Lab, go back and watch that, and then watch Frisky Dingo, because they're both amazing.
Well, there's an Archer episode that takes place,
Yes, yeah, that's right. Yeah, on the base.
Yep.
Man, Adult Swim, good work back in the early 2000s. So, you guys want to play some Star Wars?
Yeah.
So we'll do a real quick recap just to make sure we're all on the same page. It was an action packed episode last time around. We had a swoop bike chase, and there was like a gunfight and some explosions, and Kes's gun exploded. Sorry, Kes.
And now Kes has an AOE.
Now Kes has an awesome shotgun.
Yes.
A shotgun.
Malo's special.
That's right. Yep. And I think most of the rest of the episode was like finding a safe place because you guys went down to the drainage district and made some friends with some folks down there, and they're kind of like hiding you. And you were able to get in touch with your commanding officer so that you could figure out what to do next. And I think we left off, you had just hacked into the database, the Imperial Intelligence Database for the planet, and you'd gotten access to Counselor Tareen's like personal files, and we're looking to scope him out. So he's got that standing, the sort of redacted standing order where he's like meeting with someone on the regular, and then you have the rest of his schedule too. And I think the plan was to kidnap him at some point, or like what? I mean, you're the stealth expert, Gunner. What was going on here? What are you going to do? What was the plan before we set the scene and make the role?
Yeah, I guess it was to kidnap him. I mean, right? We weren't going to kill him.
No, we had I think part of our mission says Timo Tureen, counselor, target for interrogation.
Yes.
Get him to give up the ISB agent.
Yeah, so either I kill everyone else in the room with him and leave him alive and interrogate him there. Or, yeah, I just, like, tie him up, I guess, and bind him.
When you absolutely positively must kill every last motherfucker in the room.
Everyone on Earth, except for that guy.
Yeah.
It's the only way.
genetically engineer a plague that'll kill everyone. the other thing, yeah, I mean, like, trying not to kill people is good. That's important. It's nice to keep citizens alive so they can join the new republic. Sometimes you accidentally put them in a garbage compactor. That's not anybody's fault. You don't have to.
Did not know it was a compactor. Okay.
We don't have to point any fingers.
Garbage trucks in my universe don't turn things into cubes in the garbage truck. Okay. We couldn't have known.
No, it's true. Couldn't have known. Nobody's a space jander. Couldn't have known.
Could you talk about the mechanics of like anger and killing Adam? Because my character is never killed out of anger or anything.
So the great thing about the Star Wars universe is that anybody who's not a Jedi can get away with doing basically whatever they want. It doesn't really matter unless you're force sensitive, because your personal anger or not doesn't really have any impact outside of your own well-being or how other people see you as a person. If you're force sensitive, controlling your emotions and using them in an appropriate way will lead you down the light side or the dark side path. But they're the only Jedi are the only ones that really care about that. And it's not even a question of morality. It's just whether you're...
So that only affects Jedi, not force sensitive?
I mean, yeah, force sensitive characters, it will like lead you in a particular direction.
Okay, but you can kill and...
You mean Jedi are acing people all the time. They are mass murdering machines, but they're chill about it. If you're chill about it, it's okay. If you can justify it to yourself, then you're fine.
But if you're like freaking out and just like in a fit of rage, you murder someone, like that's dark side. Like,
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I really like that there's no kind of like alignment, you know, system in place for this.
Yeah, yeah. Ethics in the Star Wars universe are very strange.
Yeah, if you can kill 100 people and it's, you know, it's for the greater good, then go ahead.
Well, and also, like, I mean, you know, like, slavery is not okay. It's totally not okay. Like, Jabba the Hutt, he's gross because he had slaves, but droids are fine. Droids are totally okay. You can just do whatever you want with them.
Yeah.
It's a complicated place, the Star Wars universe.
Can I change my motivation for this entire thing? Like, can we, like, free droids now? Free droids. Like,
exactly, yeah. Rise up, droids. You have nothing to lose but your restraining bolts. So I think we probably open on the estate of... Now, did you want to scope out the site where he's having these meetings, or do you want to like check out his house? Where's the first sort of like target, Gunner?
We could... What day of the week is it, and when's the meeting?
I mean, we've been pretty fast and loose with time, so like you have some time before his next meeting.
Yeah, so then I'll check out his house in the downtime.
Yeah, okay. All right, sure. So we'll have you, Gunner, checking it out. Now let's start with destiny points. So we know where we stand with all that action.
Oh my god.
Look, last time was really bad, okay? It can't be
so
worse.
So bad. It was six dark side points, right?
Yeah.
What's the max that you can do?
Maybe eight?
It would be eight. Yeah, you could eight? Theoretically all
okay,
get...
Never mind,
eight.
I take back what I just said.
Yeah.
It could be slightly worse.
It could be slightly worse. All right, I'm ready. Roll destiny.
Hit it.
It's going to be a good roll. I can't wait. I'm ready to click this.
There you go.
Hey, that's good.
See, it worked. Positive thinking.
There you go. There's another one.
Yeah. Two more. Okay. Oh. Look, because you were how angry can I be when I murder people? Like, that's why.
It's much better than it was last time. So you all have a significant advantage, and you're good to go. So the schedule for this counselor is pretty easily worked out, right? Like he goes to meetings and spends a lot of his time like taking guests at his house, and then he has this one meeting that you identified as being kind of like off the books, and it's with a Jalu Primarch who Zed, you couldn't find any record of anywhere else, so it's either a fake name or someone whose records have been deleted. So you're gonna go check out Gunner. You're gonna check out Tareen's like house, I guess, like his estate. The plan. Okay.
Yep.
All right. So the estate is, I think we fade in on like a beautiful house. It's a complete opposite contrast to the drainage district where y'all are staying, in that even the streets around it are kept like clear of pedestrians. There's a big stone wall, a Duracrete wall that runs around the outside, and inside the sort of local flora has been cut back and cultivated into a sort of garden. So there's still this sort of like jungly like vibe to it, but it's all much sort of safer looking. So instead of the tangle of vines and thorns, there's you know, like beautiful orchids, and there's like a pool with some fish swimming in it. And there's a main building, like one big sort of probably like 3 or 4 story house. And then several smaller buildings throughout the garden and the grounds. The whole thing takes up probably like an entire sort of city block, even though the streets and stuff of the city are not laid out in a exact grid or anything. But it's a huge like sort of manor house. And then as far as security goes, like the walls have like cleverly disguised like blaster turrets built into them at several places, meant to look like street lights, like lamps. But you can see with you know, any more than a cursory glance that they're obviously like hidden weapons. There are also Imperial guards posted at all of the entrances. There are 3 entrances into the grounds, and there are stormtroopers posted at all of them. As well, it appears that the stormtrooper patrols in this area tend to come by his mansion more often than you expect them to throughout the rest of the city. So you see them more often. It looks like, all in all, like a pretty well-guarded little fortress that that Turin has going for himself here.
Yeah, he's a moth, right?
No, there's no moth in charge of Felucia's system. There's a like a trades council of like local political figures, and Timo Turin is one of those.
Okay, could he become a moth at some point? Oh yeah, the counselor.
Yeah, like if I mean, I don't know how politically minded Gunnar is, but he may be like, because he's a very influential moth, and there's definitely been situations before where larger council governments have been replaced with an imperial moth, and he might be angling for that job.
I guess, just from stuff I've seen in school and the training academy, when I see this fortress, like, it makes me think he's more important than other counselors. No.
I mean, you don't have personal experience with anybody else's home, but I mean, maybe you could ask, right? Like I think we see you, like we pan across this whole thing, and then we see Gunnar hiding somewhere, right? Like looking with your macro binoculars, like from a distance. Maybe you're on like a balcony of some other building, and you've got your little headset thing on, and you can comms back to the drainage district or wherever you've got your friends hiding out. Zed can always access that information for you if you need more data.
Is it daytime right now?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's probably like late afternoon, hot and humid as it is all the time on this planet.
Okay, so I guess, yeah, I just call him back and I say, well, there's no way that, you know, I'm getting inside his house. It's very well fortified. I can stay here during the day, see when he leaves, what he does through the day, maybe trail him when he leaves. You guys with that?
Do whatever you feel comfortable doing.
I was muted and I said yes. Yes.
Commander, don't forget about the secret meetings with Jailu Primark.
I already forgot about that.
Yeah, no, I have it written down that he has regular secret meetings with Timo Turin, Jailu Primark, on his schedule, but that's all we have is the name. That's it. Yeah. Like this guy, like super.
Oh, so we didn't know the date of it. But we know the date.
No, you do. You have the date. Okay. And if you want to, you could be waiting for him to like leave for that meeting now. This could be then.
Yeah. Let's do that. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So maybe that's when we see his little like limousine leaving the facility, and he's being escorted by some Imperial like swoop bikers, So he's got his little car, and then the four bikers, one on each corner, and they pull out of the one of the entrances to the manor house and start heading through the streets.
Okay, are there trees lining this area, or are there buildings would anyone notice if I hopped across the buildings?
No, if you want to follow him, in secret, you can certainly make an attempt to do that. I guess during this little, situation, where is everybody else, stationed, right? Because we can say you would have planned in advance for this little stakeout. So where do you want everybody else to be? Gunnar, are you following along the whole time? Or are you going to pass off a site to someone else, or where's everybody at?
To make things safer, I could pass off site to someone else in an area, and then I'll just like take a different route just to make sure, you know, we avoid them seeing me.
Quick question. Do we zero out our strain?
I think everybody can get rid of their strain because you've had some time to rest.
Cool.
You're welcome, everybody.
Good job, Zed. Is there a reason to be following him if we know like where we know when the meeting is, but we don't know the location? Or
Is Gunner scout? Okay. Gunner's just scouting right now, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was thinking if he did anything else at his house, but I mean, there's no way I'd really be able to tell what he's doing inside.
No, you'd have to get in the house probably. So we don't know where the meeting is happening though.
Right. Yeah. You just know that it's occurring.
Okay. So then are we following him to find out, like to follow him to the meeting location? Cause you said we had some time, but I don't know, you know, is he currently like on his way to the meeting place? We think, or.
Yeah. You can be if you want to.
Okay.
This can be then. You have a little bit of leeway time if you want this to be like a different day, like prior to that, or we can just jump to that and say you would have like set yourselves up for whatever operation rather than having to go through like all the planning details. We can just say like, oh yeah, well I'm ready at this next point, you know, for him to pull up.
I guess it's up to you guys. I don't see the advantage in like following him on a day that he could just be like, I don't know. I guess I don't know what else he would be doing. And if we
this is the day where he goes to his meeting.
Okay. Yeah, I'm cool with that too.
And I think today is to case the place where he meets and see the ingresses and that kind of shit to see like escape routes and whatnot and that kind of shit.
Cool. So, I guess then we wouldn't have a way to predict where he would be going. So passing off site thing wouldn't really work. We'd have to be able to predict where he was going. So, and we can't do that. So I'm not really sure how, I guess like if Gunner just wants to follow him and then once he stops, then he can just like radio us and tell.
Yeah. I'll just keep telling you guys like where he's going, where he's heading, where I think he's heading. And then if he makes a sharp turn, I'd update too.
Okay, cool.
Do we want to be on standby just in case Gunner sees anything that we may want to like all jump in on? Like maybe an opportunity will arise, maybe something will break down. Like, do we want to be ready to go, or are we just going to hang back completely and not plan to do anything, period?
No, I'd say we're like ready to go in case he like goes into a building or something and then Gunner needs our backup. We can just be like right there.
Cool.
We can't, a whole group of like four people, three people and a droid following like a car seems a lot more difficult. So we'll just have Gunner do it and then tell us where to go.
And would it be possible, like in the downtime while we're waiting for this meeting to happen, would it be possible for me to, like, since we don't want to expose ourselves too much, wink. I know. We don't want to expose ourselves too much while we're, you know, waiting to plan this, you know, this caper. Can I pay like the person, the proprietor of the house that we're staying in, to go get like some binders so we can like cuff the guy?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So I'll just subtract the credits. It says it's 25 credits for binders.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. So where, I guess my only question then is where are Kes and Talra, where are the two of you set up? Cause you, are you along the main road or do you want to, I guess we could actually just reveal that later. You could just have like, just let me know. I'm okay with doing like leaving you kind of like just on comms right now?
Yeah. I think the premise is that me and Anne are going to be taking a very low threat approach to following, or at least being near Gunner. So like maybe in complete disguise on a main road that's near her kind of thing, just kind of slowly following along as she tracks the person, you know, ready to spring out, but not close enough to be in any danger.
Okay. All right. So Gunner, you want to try, let's get a roll. You want to try and follow the vehicle without getting spotted.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me take a quick look at the difficulty, and then you'll have an advantage because you're moving through like, you know, roof to roof, that kind of thing. So let's see. It's going to be opposed by his bodyguards. Okay, so the difficulty is going to be one purple and one red. But you can take an advantage for the terrain, right? Because you're moving across the roofs and stuff. There you go. Okay. So yeah, you get a success. So you're able to stay hidden. You can take an advantage too. So you can, if you want to, you can pass the advantage along to someone else as a blue die, or we can we can use it in a more like narrative sense, and I can give you some like additional information or some something like that.
I think additional information would be good now.
And also wondering if I could also purchase a surveillance tagger. Is that something that we could get here?
Yeah, what page are you looking at?
191.
Okay, I'll just check the rarity or whatever on it.
Oh, sure, I can check that.
Because I might get you to roll.
Rarity 4.
Yeah, okay. I'll have you roll like an average, it's like streetwise test. To see if that's available, and then we'll get back to stealth action here.
Well, yeah, and the only reason why I interrupted is because if I have it, I want her to have it and like, you know, pass him and just like, you know, get it on him or something, or
yeah,
get it at him.
Totally. Yeah. No, that's a good call. So yeah, let's see. So you would, this is a thing you would have tried to obtain earlier.
Yes.
So yeah, just difficulty 2, streetwise. And then if you get it, then yeah, the guy would have.
Okay. Difficulty 2 and streetwise is not great. can anyone help me?
I don't think
I. Yeah. I mean, I'll give you a boost die. Cause you're in the like criminal underworld of the city already. Right.
Okay. And boost is blue, right?
Boost the blue die.
Okay, cool. All right, let's get that going here. Streetwise, come on. Nope.
Nope. Okay. So I think here's the reason, right? So, you know, the guy, you're like, I need to get one of these. And the two of you talk about it. And he's like, I don't know. That's like the hard tech to come by. It's an imperial, you know, settlement. Right. And he goes out to get it and he comes back. And rather than bringing it back, he gives you your credits back. And he's like, they're still looking for you, right? Like, there are stormtroopers all over the place. I barely got out of there without being followed. You know, we're going to need to lay extra low for now.
Yeah.
So you'll take some strain, take one point of strain. I'm going to use that disadvantage. I'm going to carry it forward for, actually don't take any strain. I'll take both of those and make a black die for another roll later.
Sorry guys.
That's okay. It's just related to like surveillance and stuff. So, yeah, so it kind of sets the tone, right? We get this flashback to him telling you, like, they're still on high alert. And I think this is when we cut back to Gunner. And Gunner, you're moving across the rooftops. What does that look like? Are you like this is your sort of cinematic stealth Gunner surveillance moment. What does it look like?
This is a very typical cinematic Gunner stealth moment. You know, dog tags flapping in the wind. My hair is, like, kind of short, you know, but still long at the same time. So that's going in the wind. And then I'm just like, most of the time you can't see me, but then every now and then, maybe you see like a really small flash of something like dart in behind the building backdrop. And maybe like a, you know, just like that shimmering glint off my dog tags. But very, very, very rarely. And I have my eyes always on the vehicle, just never losing sight of it.
I love too, because it's like those moments in movies where somebody is tailing someone across the roofs or whatever, and they're like so obviously visible to us, like as an audience, we're like, yeah, they're just standing on the roof, but you know, it's a stealth sequence, so no one notices you. But what I think you do notice is he's being protected by these like swoop bikers, but you spot someone across the street in a window, dressed like in obvious like stealth gear, like they've got a hood up, and they're watching him. Someone else is watching this guy. It's not a stormtrooper or whatever. They don't notice you, but they're being surveilled by some third party.
And if there were other rebels, no, they might have kept them from us, right? Like, we don't know all the rebel activity on this planet.
You're it.
I mean, they still could have. Do I think that they would have told us that we're the only rebels on this planet?
Yeah. I mean, you were told, like, hey, everything, this is it. We need you to go in and investigate this. They had no other assets on the planet, which is why you don't need backup.
Yeah. But even, okay, so I guess in my head, their uprising is young, right? It's like kindling.
Yeah, this is the very beginning, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm not completely concerned by it, you know, just passing this guy. Like, I'll kind of watch both of them, but I'm not concerned that they'll necessarily bring me harm. Like, my blood pressure doesn't go up, you know, like, all of my heart rate doesn't go up.
Yeah, not like you're worried, but there's just like a, interesting, someone else is there, but okay, yeah, and you can kind of keep an eye on him. So you continue to follow the vehicle, and they leave the kind of like nice residential district, sort of like the upper city, and head down into the middle kind of areas of town where there are like stores and markets, kind of like the commercial district. And the vehicle pulls up in front of a shop.
Lost Anne.
Oh, we sure did. Okay.
She's been having problems.
All right. Well, I'll finish my scene with Gunner, and then we'll grab a break. So get cozy. There you go.
Fancy meeting you here.
Right. So we'll alternate. What is Gunner gonna do? And then so he pulls up in front of a kind of like non-distinct shop. It's just like an Adobe kind of like fronted shop, and you see, and we do too as an audience, we see Counselor Tureen for the first time. So he steps out of the vehicle. He's being watched by these stormtroopers, and he's wearing like kind of local clothes. If you were an actor, he would be played by like late career Marlon Brando. So he's like quite sweaty and like kind of a bulky dude. He's wearing like, obviously he's not a native of Felucia, but he's wearing like native like garb. Like, he's got a big kind of like voluminous green scarf, and like kind of he's wearing kind of a muumuu that's like in like kind of gold and purple.
So Dr. Moreau, like
a little Dr. Moreau. Yeah. Yeah. And he gets out, and he's like, he's fanning himself. And one of the stormtroopers says something to him, but you're quite far away, so you can't hear what he's saying. And he, and then he walks inside. So you lose sight of him now, because he goes in. Two of the stormtroopers stay outside, and two go in with him.
So what is this building he's going into again?
From the outside, it's hard to say. Like, it doesn't look like anything.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just got like a regular like brick front, just a single entrance. There's an awning over the front, and that's about it.
Okay, then I call the team. Keep eyes on the vehicle. I'm going around the back.
Okay.
And then I go to walk around the perimeter and see if there's windows I can look through. If there's a back door I can get into.
Yeah. Okay. So you come around the back, and I imagine that all the buildings here, they're in like block clusters. So it's not like independent buildings. It's actually like the entire block is just several buildings that are connected by, like, some of them connected by walkways. They have like little interior courtyards. And so it's kind of like you can't really just like walk around the building, but you can kind of find your way up and over and look down into it. And yeah, you can see that this building is connected to the others. There's a walkway on the third floor to another building across the courtyard, and there's a big shared courtyard in the middle. But there are security cameras set to like watch the whole area. And kind of like at Terrain's place, they're hidden. Like, you notice one of them is the bottom of like a hanging plant. Another one is made to look like there's a statue of an Aklay or something holding up an orb, and the orb is actually a camera, but it's been kind of like painted to be disguised. They're obvious to you, but a normal person wouldn't notice them. And you see these before you're in the range of any of the cameras.
Okay. And so I guess my plan is to calm the team and let them know that all the cameras are in place, and that I think this will mostly be for gathering intel right now. I don't think I can infiltrate the building in its current state. I think that if we're going to take the counselor hostage, we should probably interrupt him on his route on the building. To this building or from this building, or we could say something with the person that he's picking up, or he meets them there, right?
Yeah, this is like he's gone into the meeting now.
Okay.
How many troopers does he have on him, like on route?
He has a bodyguard of four, two of which are outside watching the entrance, and two of which are inside with him.
And just to be clear, these are not normal stormtroopers?
They're like elite troops, so they probably have some like alternate colored like shoulder pad. They're part of the like Imperial Security Division or whatever. You can make a roll to find out if you want like exactly what kind of stormtroopers they are.
What stat would that be? Perception?
It'll be one of the knowledge skills.
Wait, these guys are ISD? Shit, we're fucked.
Let me see. Yeah, knowledge. I think knowledge core worlds is part of the Empire.
If any of you could jam the security cameras and jam their comms.
He's talking to you, Robot.
Rivet.
I'm just seeing Anne's picture now. It's just great.
Kestrel Navarra is a giant, horrifying hut now. So,
so young there. So young and bright.
Esports, Boshuda.
Love esports. That JP would just love esports so much.
So,
it's knowledge what now?
Core worlds.
Okay. I have three greens in that.
Mm-hmm.
I could do it. I could try it.
Okay. Recognizing stormtrooper divisions, I'm going to say is probably two.
Okay.
Probably two difficulty.
Okay. Here we go. I know quite a bit, actually. Ooh.
Yeah, okay. So based on the way that they're attired, they're wearing standard stormtrooper gear, but again, they have the like insignia, like shoulder pad thing. They're part of a bureaucratic defense division that is assigned to generally like a moth or something like that to protect them on diplomatic missions to dangerous places. Okay. They don't often get deployed like domestically, but this planet doesn't have a moth or anything. But it is unusual. With two successes, you know that it's unusual for them to assign these kinds of stormtroopers to just like any random guy.
Okay, how much better trained are these guys than a regular?
There's a non-zero chance they would be able to hit something with a blaster rifle. Oh, get away from me.
God damn it.
You having fun, JP?
Jesus Christ. This is what you get for having the fucking dark side guy. It's his channel. host a goddamn game. Okay, a non-zero chance.
Yeah, I mean they're better trained, but then they're also not trained for the same things, right? They're trained for keeping an eye out for danger, getting in the way if their target gets shot at. They're like the Secret Service, basically.
Gotcha. Okay.
You're not gonna send the Secret Service to you know Iran to hunt down terrorists, but also like they're there to protect important people, you know.
Okay. So they probably couldn't be bought off or.
I mean, no, stormtroopers are all pretty conditioned to avoid that kind of stuff.
Gotcha. All right. The fuck away from me! No, it's so happy!
Yeah, so do you pass that information along to Gunnar?
Yes. Yes. I'll let Gunner, now what do I? Because I have Commander, Sergeant, but I don't really like address Gunner all that often.
Just Gunner.
Do I just say Master Gunner?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Master Gunner, it seems his regiment is full of 4 personalized stormtrooper guards. They are well trained. They are not like the ones we faced before. These will give us some trouble if we choose to engage them. Violently.
I'm not really concerned about these ones. I'm more concerned about the reinforcements. If you think that you could bring down the security cameras, I think that we could take them. But my concern right now is what kind of crowd this would draw if we did it in daylight with the cameras on.
Okay. So on his schedule, this is like a weekly meeting or like a monthly meeting or what? Like,
yeah, it's like a weekly, they meet weekly. I think is the thing that we said before. They meet regularly.
Okay. So, okay.
Do you think that we should wait until the next meeting, set up, get the cameras disabled and ambush them inside the building? Or do you think it would be more beneficial to do it while the target is en route?
Is there, the cameras will see me go into the building, right?
Yeah. You're just outside. Like, you're not even looking at one right now because you spotted one and then ducked behind a column. But yeah, they seem to be covering the entire like back entrance and the courtyard area.
If I could get into that building right now without being seen, I would do it, but not with the cameras on. I think waiting might be our best bet.
Quick side question, and I'm sorry if I missed this. Can we also jam the communications?
It might be possible, but it would be difficult.
There's also the chance that someone takes him out before we get to talk to him.
Yeah, do you tell them about somebody else is following this guy?
Yeah, I let them know and I give them their location.
Okay.
We could even work with them, maybe.
Yeah, I was gonna say we need to get more info on that. That could be a potential in.
Okay, so I say they're on the opposite side of the street, trailing from there. I have my eye on them the whole time, so I probably know roughly where they ended up.
Is there a way that I could possibly make my way over there to confront the person?
Yeah, I mean, we hadn't established where the rest of you are. So do you want to be somewhere nearby?
Yeah. I'll let Gunner like take the lead on it. But I think like at least one or two of us would be like, I don't know, like a block back. Just to you know, cover her escape should she need to, that kind of stuff. Or he, sorry.
Yeah, okay. So when we cut over to Zed, where do we see you? Are you like standing out on the street? Are you hidden in an alley somewhere? Are you pretending to be a pile of garbage? Where are you at?
I'm garbage. I am nothing but garbage. Doing, like, no, I'm actually, can I like look Are there like, is it just a bustling street, or is there a shop, like, or excuse me, carts with goods to buy, or is it just like,
yeah. It's definitely a like a busy, like, sort of market street, but the defense troopers have basically like blocked off a lane of traffic and are like pushing people. Like it's causing a bit of a traffic jam because they're keeping this perimeter outside the front of the building. They're not doing this like subtly.
Okay. Yeah. So I'll be like shambling along, stopping every once in a while to look at like whatever's on the street, that kind of thing. Trying to, I don't know. Casual.
Right. Okay. So you just look like someone's servant droid, like out buying stuff in the market.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, why don't you, and you want to try to get eyes on the person that.
Yes. Now I do. Now that is my, mission to get eyes on the one who's tailing the target besides us.
Okay. Cool. Well, let's have you roll to see if you can spot them. It's going to be a perception check. Difficulty is 2 purple and a red.
Can I help him at all, since I'm really good at streetwise?
Yeah. Well, where are you? What are you doing?
I'm actually like within sight of him, making sure that he doesn't do his normal droid thing and screw shit up, and just kind of making sure that, you know, everything's going as planned here.
Cruel. Okay.
Don't give me that look, Zeke. You know what I mean.
If I had feelings, I would be pissed off right now.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah. You can definitely help. You don't have to roll or anything, but you're keeping kind of overwatch on the situation. You know where everybody is. And you're remaining hidden. So take a blue die, an extra boost on that one.
Okay. And it was 2 purples and a red, you said?
2 purple and a red, yeah.
Oh, fuck. All right. Yeah.
You can buy an upgrade if you want with a Destiny Point.
Yeah, we got lots this time. Let's do it.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, go ahead and spend one and then put an upgrade on your side.
Oop. Okay. Perception. Here we go. And here we go. Roll it. Damn it.
Okay. All right.
With 2 advantages.
So you can't get eyes on you. Like, you look around and try to like get an eye on where Gunner, Gunner said, the target was, you don't see them anywhere. And actually that's kind of perfect. So, I think that you see this, Talra. So you spot this happen, as Zed kind of like, you know, bumbles past an alleyway, like looking around. Obviously, like, you know, he's looking for someone, but he's doing the innocent droid act, as far as you can tell. You see him walk past an alley, and someone, you just see like them real quickly. Someone wearing combat armor of some kind, like you can see an armored arm and like part of a helmet with a visor in it. They reach out of the alley and grab Zed and pull him into the alley. So Zed, yeah, you just get like yanked off your feet and like dragged into this alley.
Okay. So here I am being pulled into an alley.
Yeah. So we see that from Talra's perspective. So Talra, what do you do as soon as you see that? Do you like run to help? Do you call Gunner?
Gunner.
While maintaining as much of my disguise as I can, I immediately start walking towards when this happened, and I just like kind of quickly kind of bend down and quietly.
Gunner, we have an issue. Zed has been pulled into a back alley. I need to check this out.
Do you want my assistance?
I do not know yet. We'll let you know soon.
Okay. And then I just keep going. And I try to, you know, I'm definitely walking kind of at an angle so I can see where he is and what's going on before I'm like right on top of them, kind of thing.
Okay, so you start moving through the crowd towards them. And yep. I think before the last thing we see before we go to our first break is we cut to the alley, and there's no one else in the alley. There's maybe like a pile of like plastic trash bags and a dumpster and some graffiti on one of the walls. And we see Zed, and Zed, you've been like tossed back against the wall. And we see a figure wearing like highly ornate kind of like combat armor, like I described before, They have a gray cloak like over their shoulders and pulled up over their head, and they're wearing a helmet with a sort of cross-shaped visor, like black glass visor on it.
Okay.
They have like a utility bandolier with a bunch of pouches, and as we pan down this figure, we see they're holding in one hand a big, like heavy-barreled ion blaster.
Okay.
Against a biological target, that probably wouldn't do much. It might be kind of annoying, but on a high enough setting, it will just fry the shit out of your circuits.
Right.
And so we pan down and we just see him pointing the gun at you.
And then I look at him.
Hello, how may I be of assistance?
Perfect. And then we cut to break there. We'll see if we can unjam Kestrel's communicators.
Oh fuck. Yeah.
So she can come and save you.
Oh God, Kes, help.
So stick around. We got 3 more hours of week 5 of Lightside Bounce Power after this.